Deep Space One, the Archaeology Mission, presented by Science at NASA. 1,000 years from now, NASA's Deep Space One probe could make some archaeologist very happy. December 20, 2002. "We've got it in the tractor beam, Doctor," called the pilot. "It's a small spaceship, an old one by the looks of it." "About 1,000 years old, if I'm right," replied the archaeologist. "Will it fit in the cargo hold? Beam it aboard. I want to take a look." The air shimmered and the craft materialized, suspended in midair. It was a boxy cylinder about the size of a person, with wings stretching 10 meters from tip to tip. "Primitive solar arrays," he nodded. The walls of the craft were blackened from long exposure to space radiation. There was one big dent, as if the craft had strayed too close to an active comet, and lots of tiny pits, 1,000 years worth of micrometeoroid impacts. It was a genuine ship from the early space age. Then he noticed a puffed-out spot in the insulation, and a flap. Something was in there. He reached inside and pulled out a compact disc. Scrawled across it in marker pen were the words, "Deep Space One." "That's how I imagine it will happen," says Mark Raymond, the project manager of NASA's Deep Space One probe, who tucked the CD inside his spacecraft just before it was launched in 1998. "The CD is a time capsule," he explains. "It contains information about the spacecraft and its mission, some personal messages from our team, and more than 800 drawings made by school kids depicting what they think life might be like 1,000 years from now." In the next millennium, he says, elementary students may send probes to other stars as science fair projects. In such an advanced era, archaeologists will be very interested in how we solved our engineering problems back in the late 20th century. Problem solving is what Deep Space One was all about. Its mission, sponsored by NASA's New Millennium Program, was to test a dozen cutting-edge technologies, among them an experimental ion engine, a solar array that focused sunlight for extra power, and an autopilot with artificial intelligence. "There was a good chance DS-1 wouldn't work at all. There were so many untried systems on board," recalls Raymond. It worked so well, however, that NASA approved an extended mission, which Raymond and colleagues had dreamed up even before DS-1 left Earth, a visit to a comet. In September 2001, with its technology tests completed and nothing to lose, DS-1 swooped past the furiously evaporating nucleus of Comet Borelli. "We thought the spacecraft might be pulverized," recalls Raymond, but once again DS-1 defied the odds. It captured the best-ever view of a comet's heart and emerged intact. After the comet encounter, the DS-1 team conducted a few more technology tests. That was the hyper-extended mission, says Raymond. But time was running out. In December 2001, DS-1 had been operating 3 times longer than originally planned, and it had nearly exhausted its supply of hydrazine, a thruster gas used to keep the solar arrays pointed toward the sun. Controllers had no choice but to deactivate the spacecraft. The mission was over. Or was it? "I think of it as the beginning of the archaeology mission," laughs Raymond. DS-1 is still going around the sun in a roughly circular orbit between Earth and Mars, perfect for a time capsule. Most interplanetary space probes will never be recovered. The Voyager spacecraft, for example, were flung out of the solar system by encounters with Jupiter and Saturn. Ditto for Pioneer 10 and 11. Galileo will crash into Jupiter next year, a deliberate move designed to protect possible life on Jupiter's moon Europa from terrestrial contamination. And Mars orbiters like Viking 1 and 2 will eventually disintegrate in that planet's atmosphere. Compared to those others, the orbit of Deep Space One is stable and well-behaved. Gravitational encounters with Earth and Mars, which happen every few years, and the gentle push of sunlight, will act to change the orbit over time, but not by much, says John Giorgini of the JPL Solar System Dynamics Group. "Using a simple solar radiation pressure model, I integrated the orbit to the year 3002 AD. The orbit's eccentricity, perihelion distance, and inclination will be about the same then as they are now. I can't say, however, on which side of the sun the spacecraft will be in 3002, so the archaeologist might have to hunt around a bit. Just enough, perhaps, to add to the thrill of discovery." And when it's found? I think it'll go straight to the Smithsonian, predicts Raymond. The only real question is this: the Smithsonian on Earth or the one on Mars? Editor's note: there is, of course, no official Deep Space One archaeology mission. It just happens that DS-1 is well suited for some future archaeologists to recover and study. Why 1,000 years from now? Seemed appropriate because DS-1 is sponsored by the New Millennium Program. This story was written and read by Tony Phillips and presented by Science at NASA. To find more Science at NASA stories on the Internet, please visit science.nasa.gov.